It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
I mean, you know how it is, rocking and rolling and whatnot.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hope you're having a great day. It is Dukes and Bell, guys, brought to you and driven by Kia. For more info, visit KiaDealers.com. Coming up in about 20 minutes, you'll hear from Jeff Collins, who is the new Georgia Tech head football coach. And, Mike, you know, he guided Temple after a couple of seasons. The Georgia Tech ties certainly help understanding the environment. But I thought he, you know, had some interesting things to say today on our morning show. You said you heard it earlier this morning.
Yep.
But for those who missed it, and I know a lot of folks have been saying, hey, Dukes and Bear, when are you guys going to get a chance to talk to Coach Collins? We hopefully will down the road, but I do want you to hear kind of, you know, this is the introduction to Coach Collins being here at Tech. And now, Mike, with signing day just literally days away, I mean, next Wednesday
right.
is early signing period, and we're going to see where Georgia Tech is. Hopefully he's able to keep some of the kids that Paul Johnson's staff was on, but also expand on it.
I really like the hire, and, you know, we're all big fans, and I know that Paul, record-wise, was more successful than George O'Leary. I just kind of like watching George O'Leary's football teams play for Tech. You know, Ralph Regan is the OC, and obviously Joe Hamilton, later our buddy George Goose Godsey. You know, they had a fun style of football. I mean, defense wasn't all that great, but I just like the connection that goes back to Georgia Tech under O'Leary. But we got to hear Coach, and you'll hear Hugh asking the question. I think you and I were wondering, if you're going to, you know, play the kind of a pro-style offense, you better go get some tight ends, and right now you ain't got any. So hear how quickly he thinks he can get some traction with this team and how excited he is. I think it's a good fit for Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I do too. I'm not concerned about, you know, the defense, because he's a defensive-minded guy.
Yep.
But we talked about this. I mean, who's his OC going to be? Where are they going with this offense? I think is going to be an interesting thing to watch and see how this develops with Georgia Tech. Meanwhile, as we do each and every day, let's get to the dogs, man, because there's a lot going on as they get ready for the Sugar Bowl.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs.
You know, it's brought to you every day by our friends at BrightBox.
BrightBox, guys, if you are looking for the ultimate man cave, give them a buzz, 770-901-2500. Also, generators to make sure you always got juice. Great deals on the generators right now.
All right, now, we're counting down. Obviously, bowl season is right around the corner. Speaking of next week, we'll be talking about some of the bowls. And, you know, these are the bowls, Mike, where you go, I'm not even going to watch. Or you may not even know they exist. But then you find yourself with nothing else on television, and it's football, and you might come across a really fun game. Who knows? I hope the Sugar Bowl is going to be a fun game. I know a lot of my friends back in Texas are talking about Georgia, the success Georgia's had the last couple of years. Here's the thing. I think both of these programs, especially where Georgia's been the last few years in the SEC Championship and then playing in the College Football Playoff, not so much this year, but Texas is aspiring to get back to that. And Tom Herman, their head coach, you know, this is the thing. Everybody thought at some point this year they were going to blow it. Well, they kind of did. They had control of the Big 12 and then lost it with that West Virginia loss, Mike. And that allowed, you know, Oklahoma to get back in. And then obviously Oklahoma beats Texas. But this is a very good Texas football team. I'm just curious to see how Kirby gets the guys mentally right after what happened at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, I mean, and we joked around about it last week, but there is sort of a, you know, it's a thing. It's an SEC championship hangover. At least it has been for Alabama and Florida. Florida with Will Muschamp upset by, what, that was Louisville. That was Teddy Bridgewater's team. And we mentioned how Oklahoma and Utah have both knocked off Alabama, and the knock on it being, well, Alabama players are getting ready for the combine. They've checked again. It's still a game. You're dressing out. You got to be better than the other guy regardless. That's the same kind of excuse we tried to apply to Auburn, how they got beat by UCF in the Chick-fil-A Peach Bowl, right? Doesn't wash.
It doesn't wash. And I think Georgia guys are you know, a better offensive team. I think Texas can score, but I don't think Texas can hold Georgia. And I do think Georgia's going to put up points. Texas defense has struggled in recent weeks. You saw that against OU again. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't, you know, allow OU to score 60. In the Big 12 championship, but the fact of the matter is, I just think they're going to struggle with Swift and company. I think Fromm is probably going to have a really good game. Meanwhile, Mike Hazelwood, you know, we've been talking about this kid, and he's one of the biggest targets left for Georgia, which has a loaded receiver group right now when you talk about recruiting. Hazelwood is the kid that, again, we've been saying it. I hope they get him. If they get him, he's a big target. Didn't he catch the touchdown the other day in the state championship game? I think it was.
Is he playing for Randy's old high school, Randy Mack, or against Randy's?
He was against Randy's.
Right. That's right.
There was 4 seconds left, and he ran a beautiful post route, game-winning touchdown.
Yeah.
From Cedar Grove. He's from Cedar Grove High School. That's it.
So, juniors, think about this. You got Mecole Hardman coming back, Riley Ridley. They've both been considering the NFL, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you, do you come back if you're those guys?
Well, I mean, we had other guys coming back to see if they could help out win a championship. I mean, is that the ultimate motivation, or do you think another year of seasoning? Or do you say, you know, if you've got good people around you, and I would wish that they would let them do what they're kind of doing with the NBA, where you can kind of they can do it now right in the pros, right? You can dip your toe in the water, at least get some feedback from the clearinghouse and see what scouts and other people think about your personnel guys before you make that determination.
Personally, listen, I think both are really good. I'd love to see Mecole Hardman come back. His return ability in the NFL should get him a job. I mean, he's going to get an opportunity.
But Holloman is the man now. You know, I mean, he's kind of become the dude, right, Samwell? I'm saying Holloman is the man at wide receiver for Georgia?
Oh, yeah. He's a beast, dude.
Thank you.
Monster.
I gave you permission to speak. Back to you, Carl. He's a big Georgia fan.
They are losing seniors Terry Godwin and Jason Stanley. They know that, though. You know, another position in flux with several unknowns is Elijah Holyfield. He's been contemplating the NFL. Do you go to the league if you're Elijah Holyfield? These are things the Dogs in recruiting guys are having to think about. You know, we know they got a good team, but these are things you go, all right, so where are we going to go?
I mean, you'd hate to lose him. Everybody's waiting to see Zamir White. They've got other running backs on the hook. You know, they're always going to have running backs in the recruiting process. You know that. We're going to wait to see if there's any big 11th hour switch for Georgia. But you think if Zeus is healthy, I mean, I love the way the kid runs, but maybe it is time to go for him. Yeah. What would you do? Would you scoot?
I think Elijah Holyfield's got a future in the league. I'd go.
Third down back, a little bit of everything?
I'd go. Listen,
tough runner?
You got Zeus coming back. We don't know at what point he's going to be completely healthy. The only other tailback.
By the way, sorry to cut you off.
Yeah.
You know, he'd look good in a Falcon uniform.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know, by the way,
because he's a power runner.
Right, real quick, can I say one thing to Thomas Dimitroff and the person and Scott Pioli? Okay, just real quick. About 50 miles that way, Athens, Georgia. Georgia Bulldogs. Go get some. Back to you, Carl.
The only other tailback they have on the roster, by the way, a kid named Kenny McIntosh from Fort Lauderdale, Mike. But there are several other guys that they're looking at when you talk about the tailbacks. We're just looking at recruiting and what's going on with the Dogs. Justin Fields, they know they want to sign another quarterback, whether Fields is there or not. I don't know if he'll be there. So these are just some of the things the Dogs are looking at as we lay out personnel, potential, you know, positions recruiting wise that may play out next Wednesday.
If you want to get the full skinny on it, we have an interview with Jeff Sentel that's online at 929thegame.com, which talks about quarterbacks from Hawaii, from Hattiesburg, everybody that's on the hook, and our conversation also with how Fields was used this year.
Junior tight end Isaac Nada also considering the NFL. Now, if I'm Nada, I think I might go.
Yeah, because they don't use you like they should. I mean, even this year, we were excited to see him get the ball at times, but physically, he's ready. You know, he's got the size. He's got everything. He's showing he can make the big catch.
Yeah, I think he's interested in seeing what he can do at the next level. And if he goes to the right team, Mike, again, his size and playmaking ability, he can be something in the NFL. So there's some things that the Dogs are looking at as far as how they're going to go about finishing up this class. But I'm going to tell you, if they get Hazelwood, it's a wrap. I mean, that to me is the cherry on top for this particular this class. Last year's class, guys, was special and unmatched because you had all those five stars and everybody was talking about it. And it just seemed like one guy after another kept deciding that they were going to make the decision to go to Georgia. This year, they've got a really good class, but they could top it off with a big wide receiver like Hazelwood.
And Demetrius Robinson has got one more year, right? So, I mean, see if he can be a factor. We're so excited about him making the move to come back from Cal to UGA. But now, when does he step up? Because there was so much hype about him going back before he even signed with the Bears. You know, before remember, there was the big debate, was he going to go to Georgia? And I thought, you know, we're kind of excited. But I guess it's a good thing to have is all those weapons at wide receiver you just laid out. If Hardman does decide to go, maybe he steps it up.
Yeah. What do you guys think? 404-741-0929. That's our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. You can text us, as always. Find us across all social media platforms. The radio station is 929 The Game. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929.
Hey, man. The Dog Report brought to you by our buddies at Brightbox. Brightbox Electrical, 770-901-2500. For man caves, home security, home monitoring, and more. Carl, what does Nick Saban love to do?
Give guys second chances.
Yes. You see this? What's going down?
I do.
DJ Durkin meeting with Alabama. Ironic because Mike Locksley left to take over the head coaching job with the Turtles. And now DJ Durkin apparently getting access to film and putting some work in with the Tide.
I'll say this. And even when this event happened, it's guys, coaches, this wasn't an unfortunate situation where you lose a young man in your program, right? And everybody obviously wants to blame and point the finger at the head coach, and there is some liability there, and he's paid the price. But there's not a coach that's coaching right now that wants this to ever happen, okay? So to think that happened on his watch and he should never have another chance, I don't think that's right. So I commend Nick Saban. You know, he's done this for other guys, and we said it. You know, that this is a guy, if you're going to go work for Saban, imagine that. Imagine you're DJ Durkin, and Mike, and you don't know where your future's going, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's Saban. He says, come on down here. I'd like to get your help. And all of a sudden now it gives you life and maybe a breath of fresh air to think about where your future's going to go. I'm just telling you that that could happen to any program where you could lose a player. And so I don't think it's, you know, it should be a situation where he never works again.
In some cases, it's a misdiagnosed pre-existing condition, which creeps in if it's a heart condition. In some cases, I mean, there was a culture. Now, it's also difficult because we said you're trying to change the culture. You come in, and we talk so much about it, but, you know, still, there's got to be some safeguards in place. So an 18- or 19-year-old kid is not dropping dead playing football. That's just unacceptable. But getting back to Saban, yeah, I mean, Saban's above all of that regardless. I'm not trying to trivialize the kid's death. But if he wants Durkin, Durkin will be on his staff. He gave Sarkisian a second chance, Lane Kiffin. You could argue that the biggest mistake that year was not sticking with Lane Kiffin the Washington game.
Yeah, deciding to move on from him. And then, obviously, Lane goes to FIU or whatever. But
Butch Jones is over there, too.
Yeah, well, yeah. And I think Butch, didn't he just get a job offer? I think he just left, if I'm correct. Right. Butch Jones did. So, yeah, listen, I love the fact that Saban does this because I think that people – this, to me, tells me everything I need to know about him. As much as he's an egomaniac, he's smart enough to know I still need the best guys around me. Talk to other coaches around the college football landscape. They'll tell you DJ Durkin is a really good coach. Unfortunate that it happened on his watch again, but he's a really good coach, so I'm curious to see where he goes. But not surprised that it's Nick Saban giving him another opportunity. Where did Butch end up?
He wound up, he's going to be the associate head coach at Maryland.
That's right.
Along with Mike Locksley, tight end coach as well.
All right.
Everybody lands on their feet, get a second shot. And by the way, I was talking about earlier, Carl, I didn't mean to cut you off when I said, please go get some Georgia players. Go get some Clemson players while we're at it, too. I mean, Grady worked out, Vic not so much, but there are good Clemson players out there, Carl, for them, especially on defensive line. They would look great in a Falcon uniform.
There's three potential first-round picks on that Clemson defensive line, Mike, and you know, we've said this. This is a big draft, or at least a deep draft for D linemen. Last night I was having a conversation with a guy. We were watching, obviously Chargers and Chiefs, and he was saying, why doesn't our line look like that? And he said, it seems like our defensive line, and, you know, it's undersized. And I said, yeah, because when Dan Quinn came in, that's what he wanted. He wanted
fast and physical.
Yeah, he wanted quicker guys, right? But I don't know. I see some of these other defensive lines around the league, and I'm going, man, what are we missing out on?
Right. And Don Terry Poe, nice job last year. I mean, yeah, it's interesting to see how the dynamic of the D-line, I mean, are we going to have the same coaches around? I mean, who's going to be scapegoated and going to get got on that coaching staff is one thing. Let me just throw some names at you real
All
quick.
Right.
And we got plenty of time, guys, but because I stepped into it by mentioning Georgia players, you know Ed Oliver.
Love him.
Imagine Ed Oliver with Grady. Giddy up.
And people don't know this story, or maybe you do. Ed Oliver, coming out of high school, right, Houston area kid, could have gone anywhere, all right, anywhere. Herman, ironically, who was at Houston at the time, convinced him, there's a change of guard, we're going to be great. And the kid stayed home. And then Herman leaves the next year to go to the University of Texas. That doesn't mean anything. Ed Oliver has been dominant. Now, him not playing this year, business decision, Mike, but this kid could easily be a top five pick.
Because you and I were talking the other day at Flower Branch. I gave you those numbers about how we've drafted the last 11 years under Thomas Dimitroff and this personnel department. And we've only gone to first round twice. The only reason I bring this up is we can finish anywhere 4 to 6, right, as far as overall picks. Right now, Squid, we're the fourth overall pick, if I read this right. So just throw some names at you. Ed Oliver. How about a corner, Greedy Williams from LSU? I know Squid's already shaking his head. Well, let me throw something at you. I don't know if it fits his own blocking scheme, and I know that we, as D-Led, put some cold water on me the other day saying, you got to get five guys.
He's
going to go to a power blocking scheme.
Yeah.
But Alabama's Jonah Williams is going to be a top 10 pick.
Yes, he is.
You know, and that's, you want to start paving some earth and moving guys off the ball and giving Matt a pocket. That would be a nice step in that direction.
Devin White.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Listen, Mike, and what D-Led's logic was, if you missed that conversation, guys, is we kind of transitioned from college, but we're still talking about some of these college offensive linemen or defensive linemen and how it translates to our Falcons is, for everybody who says, all right, this offense isn't working and the scheme isn't working, this is the same scheme that took us to the Super Bowl, all right? It's the same scheme with maybe lesser talented offensive linemen up front in some cases, but as a cohesive unit was better than what we've seen around the league. So, you know, D-Led was saying, listen, if you can replace two of these guys, that's easier to replace than the entire five. Right. Now, you're not going to replace the entire five because we know Alex Mack's here. We also know Jake
Matthews
is here,
right?
So you're not doing that anyway. But the whole thing is if you go a completely new scheme and you want to draft, let's just say, big, bulky, powerful offensive linemen, all right, so now you got to change your whole makeup. And that's a lot more difficult to do in the current position we're in. You know where we're at? We're in a win-now situation. This is not, okay, well, we'll give it a couple of years and let's see where we're at. Quarterback's not getting any younger. Julio's not getting any younger. That's the reality.
But, I mean, here's the other question, though. Based on all those, I mean, talk about big decision. You want to go O-line, you want to go D-line. And you want the same guys making those decisions if you're Arthur Blank, based on where we're at and where we've tailed off again. I mean, we went to the NFC Championship, and then we had two terrible years. Last, we went to the Super Bowl. We made the playoffs last year. This year's obviously got awful. I mean, do you subscribe, which I know you do, as I do, that we're in the middle of the window with all the talent with Matt and Julio in their prime?
Yeah.
So, I mean, do you say I'll scrape along with defense, but I've got to get this O-line straightened out?
I think the quarterback is the most important position to have success. And therefore, I feel like in free agency or however you want to address it, you can find guys, as we have, Mike, on the defensive side.
Right.
You got to get the O-line right. If you want Matt Ryan to be his best, you want Free to be his best, you want Julio to keep doing what he's doing. And what he's doing, by the way, is amazing because, honestly, Julio shouldn't have the kind of numbers he has based on the O-line.
You know, we've seen some strange drafts. 15 the year that Vic went, obviously the Gurley thing was there. And there's a lot of guys that aren't even competing or aren't even important, Carl, from the first 32 picked. But this one, it's hard to look at this one and say, man, some of those names I just gave you in the top 10 aren't going to be big-time ballers in the league.
Cleet says, hey, we tried fast and physical. Why don't we get fat and physical?
Yes, let's go get Grady Jackson back here. He's out there somewhere.
Hey, you'll hear Jeff Collins coming up next, the new head coach at Georgia Tech.
It is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and if you missed it this morning, the new head coach of your Yellow Jackets, Jeff Collins, was talking with Frickin' Hugh. Grew up in Conyers and played his college ball at Western Carolina, but he's connected to Tech because he was here when George O'Leary was rolling, and that was one of the first questions the guys were asking. What made you think about coming back to Georgia?
Well, I mean, this is home, obviously, and you know, I've been here twice. I was with Coach O'Leary, and I was with Coach Gailey back in the day, and just had such a great time here. The education, the atmosphere, being in downtown Atlanta, there's so much to sell, so much history in this place, you know, and obviously, again, it's home. So it was a tough decision because I was leaving a good football team, a really great football team with a bunch of guys I truly loved and cared about. But, you know, when you have a chance to come home in this career, you know, you got to take that opportunity when it presents itself.
Jeff Collins is the new head football coach of the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. He's joining John here this morning as he's out recruiting. Coach, if I could, for the benefit of the audience out there, that our audience and 99 The Game, if you could kind of take me back. I know you were born out in Conyers. Kind of walk me through. You went to Western Carolina. Tell me about the early life of Jeff Collins and what you went through.
We'll go all the way back. I was born in DeKalb Memorial Hospital and raised on Columbia Drive, just east of Atlanta in Decatur. And, you know, that's where my mom went to Columbia High School. She was, for a while, she was the all-time leading scorer in the basketball program at Columbia High School. Dad ran track. He actually ran track at Georgia. And then when little Jeff Collins came along, he transferred and finished up his career running at Georgia State. My uncle ran track here at Georgia Tech. So, you know, all the, you know, major colleges in Georgia, we've been represented throughout our family. But, you know, went to high school in Conyers, Georgia, Rockdale County High School, and, you know, then went to Western Carolina University, met my wife, and, you know, I told the story in the press conference, and I fell in love with her at love at first sight. She fell in love with me once she found out I was from Atlanta. You know, we've had a great run. We've been married 23 years. It's actually our anniversary, our 23-year anniversary tomorrow.
Oh, happy anniversary.
Said that. Yeah, so that reminded me I got to send some stuff back to Philadelphia. So glad that just came up. But had a great career. Been, you know, at Georgia Tech twice, like I said. Been at the University of Alabama. Been at Mississippi State for 4 years. Had a really good run there. The last year I was there, we were number one in the country for 10 weeks. You know, Dak Prescott was the quarterback. And then I went to the University of Florida for 2 years. Played in the SEC championship game both years. I was the defense coordinator at Florida. And then was blessed to have the opportunity to be the head coach at Temple. And, you know, we had a great run there, coached some amazing young men, and really had a great culture. And I'm excited to be able to build that here in Atlanta.
So, Coach, would you consider yourself more of an offensive-minded coach or defensive-minded?
Well, I've been a defensive coordinator in the SEC for 7 years, and so I've made my name on the defensive side of the ball. But we do some cool stuff offensively, and I think that two of the top offenses in Temple history were the years that we were there. Mm-hmm. And, I do an Elite Eight every single week. I go into the offensive staff. Here are the eight plays that I want to run, pretty unique, crazy formations, crazy shifts that I know will give defensive coaches a hard time. And they run those Elite Eight, sprinkle them throughout the game. And, they're a lot of fun. We shift offensive linemen to the sideline. We create different pods. We do wildcat stuff with that and just try to be creative and have fun with it.
So, Coach, you know the kind of offense that was ran, what Coach Johnson ran here at Georgia Tech.
Sure.
And my question to you is, because with the players that you have right now, how long is it going to take you to kind of transition your players, if that's the case, to your new style of offense?
Yeah, the big thing is just taking, we've got a very multiple offensive scheme. We're spread, but we'll do some pro-style stuff. We run a lot of option out of our package with our wildcat stuff and when we play our running quarterback. But we're very multiple. But the big thing I've learned a long time ago, it's not about scheme. It's about players. Every single thing that we do in this organization is going to be about the players. So we have 13 running backs that are on scholarship here at Georgia Tech. So we've got to take what we've inherited and put these young men in the best position to play at a high level, to win a lot of games. And the biggest thing for me is I want to develop them for life after college. And the kind of men that we're going to bring into this program, the kind of recruits we're going to bring in, hopefully that life after college piece will start in the NFL. So we want to prepare them every single day for life after college, play in the NFL. And the beautiful thing, too, is once their NFL career is over, they've got an awesome degree from this great institution that's going to help them in life and help them with connections. And be very successful in every single phase. But I do understand in the recruiting piece, you've got to make sure that the guys are developed and they can play at the next level. We want to put them in a scheme that allows that.
All right, so two, if I can, because I just want to get some clarity here, Coach. You talk about Hugh's question, and the transition is spot on. So eventually, what will a Jeff Collins offense look like? A pro style
multiple,
or what?
Well, everything that we do is multiple.
Okay.
If you watch NFL,
right.
You watch the Rams, you watch the Bears, you watch that great game last night between the Chiefs and the Chargers. It's multiple. They're running zone read now in the NFL. They're throwing RPOs in the NFL. So spreading the field when you need it, when you need to get athletes out in space. And then when it's time to play big boy ball and you need to pound it, you've got to have the ability to do that. There are no tight ends on this roster, so I don't think there's been a tight end at Georgia Tech in 11 years, and so we're trying to be very creative because that is a big part of our package. So finding the tight end, whether it be currently on the roster, obviously through the recruiting piece, and we're actively doing that. But the players that we have, we will fit the scheme based on the talents that we have on our roster. So from year to year, and it's the same way in the NFL, from year to year, what your scheme is going to look like is going to be different based on the players that you have. And so we have really good coaches that I'll announce after signing day that will come in here and put these young men in the best possible position so they have success individually and they have success as a team.
So Coach, you sound really excited about this opportunity at Georgia Tech. So I can hear it in your voice. You're not deterred at all about the difficulties, potential difficulties in signing certain kids that potentially want to be engineers. And you're not even worried about that, huh?
Coach, I'm fired up, man. I said this in the press conference. Every single thing about Georgia Tech I see is an advantage. Smart people make smart decisions. And so we're going to be able to recruit a high level of young man that values academics, that wants to play at a high level of ball. You go out around the country, there are great students that want a great education and are great athletes. And I don't think you should ever short sell how vital that is, setting young men up for a future, setting themselves up for 40 years of a career, and play some big-time ball in the process. And that gets me fired up.
So, Coach, it's safe to say that your coaching staff, the whole coaching staff, they won't be using red pens as well?
I learned that a long time ago when I was here with George O'Leary. There was no red in the building. And the funny thing is, even when we went down to UCF and I was with him in Orlando for 2 years, that we had no rival or anybody in our league that even wore red, but you still, with George O'Leary, weren't allowed to wear any red around the UCF facility as well. So, you know, he's one of my mentors. You know, I think the world of him, and I'm so blessed that I got to be at Georgia Tech in my, you know, Division I career, started here, you know, under his guidance. And we had some great coaches. Ralph Regan was here. Billy O'Brien was here. And I just learned a lot from those great coaches.
Well, I tell you what, Coach, you got me excited. I can't wait to see T-Day now. I'm excited to see what this is going to look like. I really am.
Yeah, Jeff Collins is the new head coach at Georgia Tech. He joins John and Hugh. A couple of quick questions, if I may, Coach. I know you're recruiting, but I appreciate the time this morning. Will you be going to the bowl game in Detroit? And how do you interact with the players, you know, try to get to know them without getting in the way right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been burning the road out recruiting, trying to put together the staff or putting together the staff. So I haven't been around them a lot because I've been on the road so much, but have developed some good relationships. We've got a text thing going with the team. So I've been texting the guys. Tomorrow, or actually this afternoon, will be the first practice that I'll have gone to. So I'm excited to see them in action. And, you know, I don't want to discount I'm so excited to watch Paul Johnson coach in person. Such a great deal of respect for him and what he's done in his career and what he's done here at Georgia Tech. And, you know, I'm excited to watch him coach. And then I will be in Detroit. So the day after Christmas we play, I'm going to fly up to Detroit, and I'm setting up a visit for all of our players' families that come up to Detroit to see the game. I'm going to set up a window that I get to visit with the families so they get to know me. I get to shake their hands, look them in their eyes, because I'm going to be coaching them during the winter conditioning program starting in January. And just want to make sure I start building relationships with our players' families as well. And then obviously watch the game, and then we get back in January, and it's on.
All right, what have you seen on film? You're a defensive guy. We see this team's got, you know, there's individual talent on defense. What do you see on defense that excites you, and what kind of, you know, they switched obviously to a 3-4 this year. What kind of base defense will you play, and what are you seeing for some of the guys?
Well, the same thing people have seen, you know, Jeff Collins' defense over the last 7 years, being in Mississippi State, being at Florida, and then, you know, implementing our package at Temple. We move around from 4 down to 3 down, and we're very multiple. But the big thing with us is we play tight coverage across the board. I think over the last 7 years, we've been one of the top pass defenses in America. You know, and so we play tight coverage. You know, there's no room to breathe on the perimeter. We get extra hats into the box. We're very aggressive. We're very multiple. And the big thing, too, is we play an NFL-style defense so the guys can showcase their talent. Ooh. As it translates to the next level. So when you turn on the, you know, Falcons defense or the Seahawks defense or any NFL defenses, most of the time the middle of the field is closed. That's the same thing with us. We're going to change the coverage, but most of the time there will be somebody in that deep middle of the field and get an extra hat in the box, and we're playing tight, aggressive coverage. But you'll see a bunch of guys flying around, playing with relentless effort, high level of care, and a tremendous amount of energy and juice.
Blitzing, you're going to be doing a lot of blitzing too, Coach. You blitz on rundowns, Coach.
Coach, it's coming from everywhere, anywhere.
Ooh, you just gave me goosebumps when you said, I cannot wait to see this. I cannot wait to see it.
And I appreciate it. I only have one more question. If I could take you over here just a second, Coach, because you're uniquely qualified to answer this, I think. You coached at Temple, had great success over the last couple of years in Philadelphia.
Sure.
You did coach at one time at UCF. You've coached a team that went to number one in the nation in Florida and Mississippi State.
Yep.
Central Florida, how would they fare in a playoff last year, this year? You know, the teams that you saw, how would they fare in terms of, you know, because the expansion playoff talk is everywhere. How would they fare if there were an 8-team playoff? Would they be able to stand toe-to-toe with some of the big teams?
I think they're a great program. And you look individually, just talent-wise, they've got great players. They've got tremendous speed. And the thing that even more resonates that is, you know, Scott Frost leaves, did a great job at UCF, and he goes to Nebraska. Josh Heupel comes in, and they're able to replicate that success. So that tells you what quality players that exist on that roster. You know, I think, you know, if they had gotten a chance to get in, they would have played at a very high level and a very competitive. Obviously, I can't predict what would happen, but I can say this from all the stops that I've been at, and all the teams that I've played against over the years, of the great ones, they are a great team.
All right, that's high praise for that, and And I think we are going to 8 because that's just the chatter. But let's get back to Georgia Tech for a second because I know everybody that's a Tech fan, finally, Coach is excited. Welcome back to Atlanta. Welcome back to Georgia Tech. And we wish you, I wish you the very greatest of success in the Flats.
Thank you.
Have a good one, Coach.
Thank you for taking
a few
minutes.
Thank you, guys.
That's the new head dude, man, for Georgia Tech. And certainly, guys, I think, Coach, I think he's got a plan. Go take a minute because, yes, you do have to get the personnel in there to make it work.
We play an offense, a pro-style offense, pro-style defense. I just love the fact that he's coming in. He knows exactly what he wants to do. Now he's got to get the players to go along with it, Mike, and finding the right pieces. I'm excited to see what Georgia Tech's going to look like a couple of years from now under Jeff Collins. Coming up, it's Yeah Man, No Man.
Next. No, yeah, you can't wait.
Number one.
Coming up, Falcon Report, guys. Also, our big story, which includes, well, conversation with Dave Archer. But right now, it is Bo Morgan. What's going on, Bo? Yeah, man, no man.
Really got to change that open. We don't do rapid-fire questions normally with me. I'm pretty long-winded. So, all right. Do you guys remember a few weeks ago, Oscar De La Hoya promoted a UFC fight between Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz?
Right.
Well, Dana White blasted Oscar De La Hoya for it, saying, why would you put a 50-year-old in there? You know, Liddell got knocked out in the first round.
You're encroaching on my territory, too, MMA, kind of.
A little bit.
Yeah, but his was more, you know, Dana White famously retired Liddell because he said, I'm not fighting you anymore.
So this is more about the quality and worry about the guy and all that. Okay.
Yeah, and he brought that up, so he attacked
him. And
that
Dana White also didn't make any money off it, Carl.
That's probably it.
Well, De La Hoya responded after Dana White, you know, basically said that he was on drugs and all this stuff. And he called out Dana White and said, you know what, let's have a debate. So yesterday, Dana White responded.
Let's do it, idiot. Come on. Any show you want to, and I want to hear you stumble and bumble and mumble through, you know, trying to. He doesn't run the business. He knows nothing about the business. He knows nothing about the sport. And he's not very bright. So let's do it. Any day of the week, let's do it. And let's do drug tests, too. I want to do that, too.
Wow. Dana White kind of coming over the top there on Oscar. Let's see, Dana White giving up 4 years as far as the tail of the tape and about 100 pounds.
Well, Oscar went on a radio show, and it was, I guess it was like a podcast, and he didn't really look very healthy. But Oscar responded to Dana White with this.
That was what he said in response to your to your request to debate.
Sounds defensive here. Jeez.
Your response?
Let's get in the ring.
is that how you want to settle this?
Yeah, why not? Let's get in the ring. 3 rounds. Let's do this. Let's do this under Canelo Cinco de Mayo. I'll even give you 5 months so you can get off the juice, and then get in great shape, and then we go 3 rounds. And look, I'm gonna give you what, a 50-pound advantage. It's okay, I can take you on. Let's do it.
The thing about battling with Dana White, you know this from years of having watched. Wow, you guys used to be on good terms.
Oh wait, he didn't. He's never laced up a glove in his life. Sorry about that.
Oh, how about them apples? All right, would you? Here's the question. I'll do squid. Be like, so would you pay or would you watch Dana White and De La Hoya in an undercard?
Is that the question?
Well, yeah, go ahead with it. That's fine. Because here's the thing. While De La Hoya was a great in his time.
Mm-hmm. No doubt.
Now, people forget that Dana White was a boxer in his early years up in the Massachusetts, Boston area. And then he obviously became a promoter. But, yeah, I mean, who are you taking? Dana or Oscar? Just overall.
Can I go first on this one? Oscar gets on my nerves because we had to wait for the Canelo Triple G fight. We never get the fights when we want them, obviously. I had high hopes for Oscar De La Hoya, and he's just been like Bob Arum or everybody else. You just never get the fights we want in a timely fashion. So, to me, he's just part of the problem.
Yeah, listen, Dana White is a brilliant businessman. He has been. He's grown MMA to what it is now. People forget this is a sport that was outlawed in many states.
Right.
Okay? But with all of that said, I'm going with Dana. And you said it. I don't know if Oscar is healthy. I don't know what's going on with Oscar De La Hoya these days from just a mental standpoint. And I'm not talking about the putting on women's clothes thing. I'm just saying from every time that I've seen Oscar and talked to him, he's been a little bit weirder and weirder every time.
Yeah, the last time we were there was we did the show at Mandalay Bay, and we had him on. And you're right. He's just gotten a little funkier and kind of a little out of touch every time we speak. Good call, brother.
Yeah, and I've watched his last few interviews on ESPN, and then I watched this podcast part of it, and he looked different in the podcast than he did when he's on ESPN. So it's a little bit disturbing. But let's have a little more fun. Our favorite crew, the NBA on TNT, Charles, Kenny. And I know Kevin Garnett makes some appearances. Well, they had a little bit last night where a guy asked for Christmas dating advice, and I'm going to play that. And I backed up to it. I have Charles's answer, and then I have Kevin Garnett's answer, and I want to get you guys to tell me which one you agree with more.
Dear Inside, I've been dating this girl for about 3 weeks. Christmas is coming up soon. Is it too soon to get her a present? If not, what should I get her?
3 weeks, dude, you got to get us something for Christmas. Flowers, some type of outfit or something. But you got to get her something. You cannot date a girl for 3 weeks and not get her anything for Christmas. Come on, man.
My advice to you is, yes, do not give her a gift. It's too soon, 3 weeks. Don't give her a gift and then see how she reacts to that. And that's who she really is.
Charles is right. Kenny, you're out of your mind. You get three
weeks. That was Kevin Garnett.
Kevin Garnett. Well, Kevin, you're out of your mind. Anything is possible, but not a fourth date if you're going to keep that up. I think, Carl, you got to go with Barkley on this one.
I'm going with KG.
Oh, come on.
You got to see where her head's at.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not coming out of a gift for you on Christmas.
You can buy her out. You go to BB. You get a or somewhere. You as a hot chick you can talk to.
You know what? I'm going to give you
get a nice
I'm
outfit.
I'm going to give you a card, and then I'm going to see where your head's at after Christmas. Because she's expecting
a
gift.
What a bunch of cheapskates, man.
She's expecting it.
I disagree. I go with Charles. I mean, you don't break the bank, but you give her a little something-something.
Give her a little something-something.
Yeah, man. Got to prime the pump.
I'll prime the pump.
Boy, there's some pond freezing down because me and Mike are agreeing again today. I agree with Mike.
I'm not saying to go crazy,
small.
But something small, you know?
Something small. Mike is actually dead on this one.
You guys are suckers. That's what they want you to do.
Give her a gift card for a restaurant, some bric-a-brac. You can do whatever you want, man.
You take her to dinner. That's the gift. You say, you know what?
I really enjoy you. That is a gift.
I really want to be with you, and I'm glad you're enjoying my company, and I hope that we continue in the new year. There's your gift.
Garnett, get some class, man, for God's sake.
What up, KG?
I think that earthquake took more than his house loose.
Hey, man, coming up, Falcon Report. You guys are going to be chiming in on that. Do you get her a gift? Have you only been dating her 3 weeks and
again,
it's the holidays?
A modestly priced gift.
What is that these days?
$30, $50.
You
nice
can't
outfit.
Get anything for $30.
Go to Spencer's, get her a tuxedo t-shirt.